Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity once again to be with my brothers and sisters on the outreach today. I ask, Lord, that you anoint each one of us, Lord, to share the things that you'd have us to share tonight, Lord. And not only that, Lord, to open up our ears and eyes of understanding, to know what you're saying to us, and to realize, Lord, that we are in the end times. And Father, I just praise you for the work you're going to do tonight in each one of us. And I pray, Lord, that it'll be a blessing to all who listen. And I thank you for your presence. And I thank you, Lord, for setting a watch before our lips to speak only as an oracle of God. And I thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in each one of us. Because we know that we can't do anything without you, Lord. It's always you that does this work in us, Lord. And all we have to do is have the faith. And matter of fact, Lord, you give us the faith to have the faith. And we just praise you for doing this work in us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? We always ask for a prayer request when we open up. Take care of all of that, first of all. Yeah, Matt, go ahead, brother.
Let me unmute. I got a couple prayer requests. One, Lord will give me energy and strength to get up every morning. And then I've got my mother coming in this Thursday. So, Lord, I pray that you give me your supernatural strength and energy, Lord, to get, through these work days, Lord, these early work days, until I adjust accordingly to it, Lord. And I thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I pray for my mother that you put your angels round about her as she travels, Lord, and that... she'll have a wonderful time, and she won't have any bad experiences or anything like that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is she driving down?
Flying.
Okay, good. Yeah, that drive. That's a good drive.
Remember, she's afraid of the Tennessee drivers.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Lord, will you ask her why she's here? How long is she going to be staying, Matt?
A week.
Okay, Lord, will you just ask her why she's here? She's going to be blessed by your word and by the people that are here, Lord, and that she would learn a lot and revelations would come forth to her, Lord, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, she was here, what, last year?
Early this year.
Okay. Hey, Joe. Good morning to you.
Morning, everybody.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Well, I want to pray, so let's pray. Y'all believe with me. Well, Father, you know, it looks like things are coming out slowly on this Las Vegas massacre, that it looks as if the FBI did, or CIA, some government entity. Father, we don't know how you're going to do it, but we ask that you drain the swamp up there, that you would get the glory for doing it too, Father. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that you show us how you're going to do it so we can be looking for it, Lord. And I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring down these evil men and women that are causing these deaths because of their agenda. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that. I thank you, Lord, for getting rid of all the people up there that have been a detriment to this country, that have sold it for money and fame. Lord, I thank you that you're doing it, Lord, and just you would expose it in a way that people would know for sure that it was you that did it and that they were evil people. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do it. Lord, I hope you use this to save a lot of folks in the name of Jesus. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I'm looking for it, Lord. I'm looking for it. I'm looking for the dreams and the visions that you're going to give. to show us how you're going to do it and when you're going to do it. Lord, you don't have to do it, but we're asking that you do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, and the same thing for South Africa. The same thing for South Africa. Lord, if you drain that swamp there in South Africa as well, when you're draining the swamp, go ahead and pull the plug on that one too, Lord, and get rid of all those evil people up there too. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Lord, we just ask that you drain a swamp all over, Lord.
Amen. We'll
give relative peaceful 3.5 years
before
the last 3.5 years. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, Kurt, go ahead, brother.
I got a prayer request.
Okay.
Last night at the meeting, I really got blessed with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And but I had some really bad nightmares, bad dreams last night, and I don't want those guys. It was, you know, just reflections back on my old life and things that I was involved in, and I don't want those. You know, I'm a new creature in Christ, and Satan's a liar. So I just asked if you guys would agree with me in prayer that God will give me good dreams and pour Satan out of my head.
Okay. You want to pray? You want us to?
I'll let you pray.
Okay. In the name of Jesus, right now, we come against the demonic entities that are placing these dreams in Kurt, and I command them to cease right now. You're not wanted. You have to go. He's a child of God, and he's not under the curse, and these things cease right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we just ask and we pray, Lord, that from this point on, that you control his dreams and that he gets good dreams. He gets prophetic dreams in the name of Jesus, Lord, and place it in his heart to tell them to somebody to write them down when he gets them, because I know, Lord, that you're going to give them to him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. You believe that, Kurt?
Yes, thank you very much. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Can I address that, Michael?
Yes, you can, Leon. Go right ahead, brother.
Well, Kurt, every night I pray that I submit to God and I resist the devil so he's got to flee. Then I quote Luke chapter 10, where Jesus gave me authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So they have no more power on me. And then I quote Paul in Romans, and that he told me that I have that I can reckon myself dead to sin, but alive to God through Christ Jesus. And then I rebuke Satan, the devil, the demons, and my flesh, and cast them out. And when I don't do that, I tend to have dreams. But when I do that, I don't have any bad dreams. So if you could incorporate something like that, if Michael's prayer should be sufficient for that. But if you feel or if you see they're coming back, you can do that on your own. And so can anyone in the on this conference call too. They can use that method and get rid of them.
That's a good idea, Leon. That's a great idea, as a matter of fact, to do that. Amen.
I was just going to say, before I go to sleep, I'm always lifting everybody else in the ministry up, you know, and praying for them. And so Jesus is on my mind before I go to sleep. It's just that, you know, Satan slipped in there and did a no-no with the dream. So anyway, I appreciate the prayers. Thanks.
Okay.
You can mute me again.
All right. Go ahead, Jackie.
Hey, Michael. I just wanted to share with Kurt to encourage him, too. When I go to sleep, I always quote Proverbs 3:24, and if it's okay, I'll read it.
Yeah, go ahead.
I shared this in the Monday night prayer meeting. I think the first year I went down and got baptized when we were over at a sister's house, because there was a sister struggling, and I believe it blessed her too. But the verse goes, "When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet." And I pray that over myself all the time, and it's very encouraging and very comforting. So I hope that helps you too, Kurt.
Amen. That's a good one. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else? Got a prayer request? Yeah, Matt, go ahead.
Well, I don't have a prayer request. I just kind of wanted to add in to that whole dream thing. It's, from what I experienced, that the you know, the Lord gives us dreams to show us about things to come to pass, to pray against, and stuff like that. But he allows the devil to either to show us or to try us in our dreams too. Just, you know, because, you know, we all have bad dreams, nightmares of our fleshly past or something we might be struggling with. But it's, from my experience, you know, those that comes upon you, you just rebuke it when you wake up, and, you know, you don't accept it by faith. You pray against it, and it won't come to pass.
Amen. Amen. I like the idea of, that's good, Matt. I like the idea of rebuking it before it happens. You know, like Leon was talking about, that's good. And we've already prayed a prayer of faith for him, so that'll work. Okay, anyone else? Prayer request.
Hey, Michael?
Yeah, Leonette, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm driving in my truck. It might be a little loud, but... So my mom had another dream about me and my situation with my son and all that. And I had a question, how does one know if he has a cursed item in his possession that could be a door through which, you know, evil spirits could have access to your life?
Well, that's a good question. Idol.
Here's. Sorry, I just wanted to add one more thing. So she had a dream, and I want to go ahead and tell you what it was and why I'm thinking what I'm thinking. But it wasn't a very detailed dream, but she basically saw a man, and he spoke and said, "There's a cursed item," something to that effect. And so, and she instantly woke up, and so she started praying, like, "Lord, well, what is it? Well, who, what, where, when?" You know. And as she was praying, she prayed a little bit and fell back to sleep. This was at night, and she saw a dream. And again, this man says there's a cursed item, and she. She doesn't know what it is, but she sees it, but she doesn't know what it is, and she can't really explain what it is because it wasn't really made known to her. And she sees me come and take it away. But she doesn't know where I took it or what I did with it, and I don't even know what I did.
Well, let me ask you this.
She saw this.
Was it at her house? In the dream, was it at her house and you came to her house to get it out of there?
No, she didn't. It was a very limited information type of dream.
Yeah.
She had very little information. That's why I'm asking, like, how would you know if this is something you took away or if this is something you got rid of or is this something I acquired? Is this at my house? Is it at her house? There's no information. And I was just kind of curious.
Maybe
we can all just pray and ask the Lord to reveal what it is.
Yeah, we could do that. But the first thing that came to my mind was a generational curse.
Yeah.
Something that came out of your that she had, you took it away, or is that correct?
Well, it could be. I clearly know that there are some generational things that, you know, that have plagued my family, and we've been working through those, and God's been really merciful to us. So I'm clearly seeing victory in many areas of our, you know, my life that I know are generational curses.
Okay.
But I thought maybe it was, maybe it's something very specific. Like, you know how people can go to, you know, India or something and bring back a little trinket and they don't realize that it's got, you know, a demonic strongholds attached to it, you know? Maybe is it something I could have acquired that I didn't realize had some kind of stronghold attached to it?
Yeah. You got any weird stuff running around the house there?
No. Nothing, no. Pops aren't banging, doors aren't closing, and lights aren't flicking on and off. No, none of that, you know.
The only thing is my son
is still having a real hard time, and we with him. So, I mean, we're all really sensitive to all these issues.
Well, let's just pray. Let's just pray. That's the best way to do it. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're asking you to reveal whatever it is that his mother has seen in these dreams. Lord, you're trying to tell her what it is. Lord, we need some more information. We need more information about what it is. Now, in the meantime, in the name of Jesus, we come against this cursed item, whatever it is, and we command you to cease your attacks against Leonid and his family in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that he is not under the curse. His family is not under the curse. And in the name of Jesus, we break all generational ties, curses that have been spoken against this family, that have walked in this curse, any kind of curse, in Jesus' name. And we cast them all down as null and void. He is a child of God now. His family are Christians. They're all Christians. They're doing what they know to do, Lord, in you. And they aren't under the curse. And we break this curse. We break this demonic entity that's trying to bring something on this family in Jesus' name. And we command you to cease your activity right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for revealing what, if it's something in his house, if it's something spiritual or something natural, Lord, we ask that you reveal it completely in Jesus' name. We ask that you do it tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You said anything that we ask in your name, you're going to give it to us. And we ask it in your name, Lord. And we thank you that you're going to give it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, look for it because it's
Amen.
Coming, brother.
Thank
Amen.
You.
You bet. Thank the Lord. iPad Judy. Hey, girl. Amen. You're darkened out there, Judy. What's the matter here, girl? You trying to hide from us? No. You got all the lamps on behind you instead of in front of you. That's okay. Sit down. We know who you look like. Praise God. You're looking good, girl. You're looking good. Hey, by the way, Judy got healed last night. Hey, Dave.
I say she's in that witness protection program.
Yeah, well, she could be. Yeah, she's going to give her testimony tonight. I know she is. She got a blessing last night.
She looks like Jesus.
Yeah, she does.
Michael, she
yeah.
looks like Jesus.
There it is. Oh, yeah, there she is. Look at that. She looks like she's 39. Amen. Glory to God. Hi, Judy. Is Sue G there, will you? Look at there. There's Sue G. Hi, Sue. I have to, there's a couple of Sues here, so I have to call her Sue G and the other one Sue F. G and F. Amen. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? You want to give your testimony, Judy? She's trying to figure out how to turn that computer on. All right. Well, I'll unmute you. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, that's So thank you, Lord, that you can hear me, because remember, before you couldn't hear me. So thank you, Lord.
Awesome.
Anyhow, well, I've been believing, because we were on the 40-day fast, that the Lord would heal my knee, and that rheumatoid, well, I know the rheumatoid arthritis is gone, but, you know, Satan keeps bringing it back, and my knee keeps swelling, and I keep walking, and I keep going around that mountain. Then I try to go to the doctor and all this good stuff and let them fix it. And so I thought, okay, Lord, I'm going on this 40-day fast for you and for my family and for you being family and for everybody and everybody's healing and everything. And I just knew that the meeting last Monday night was going to really be the meeting. I just felt it in myself. And so Patty, one of the girls, said, I'd really like to have you pray for Judy. And Michael came over, and all of them came over, and it was, oh, man, it was awesome prayer, Lord, awesome prayer. Just on, and I just really felt something. I didn't know what it was, but I just knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm healed. I just have to do it and walk it out and just say, hey, I'm healed every day. It's going to be better and better and better. Because I asked the Lord about being healed before I went back to Indiana for a while. And I got a yes. So, but I didn't ask if I was going to be healed right now or, you know, just keep walking it out. I believe he wants me to just keep walking it out. And each day is getting better. And it's going to be better and better and better. And it's going to be completely gone. So thank you, Lord, for manifesting my healing. For getting rid of that arthritis completely, forever and ever. And thank you for all the beliefs that everybody did for me Monday night and the prayers and everything. That was pretty awesome.
What did you think about last night prayer meeting?
Awesome.
That's what I was talking about. Monday night.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and right before we actually had our meeting, some of them were in a circle there holding hands and praying. And when I walked in, they were doing that. I didn't know who they're praying for. I thought, well, maybe they're praying for Sandy or for, I didn't know. But I just felt, you know, compelled to just join right in and start praying. So I just prayed, and we were all praying in tongues. Then another person came in and they joined in. Another person came in and they joined in. So it was pretty cool the way we started our meeting. And I really wanted to stop it with us joining together with hands in a circle, you know, but I didn't say anything, and we didn't do it, but Friday I'd like to do that.
Well, you know, what set the tone, in my estimation, is the prayers beforehand, because what we started out praying for was the prayer meeting.
Yeah.
That the Lord would come in, you know. And do an awesome night, and it was probably, if not the best night of my 6 years being here. The Lord showed up, and even though we didn't hold hands, that's okay, you know. But it was an awesome night of the Lord filling the place up with His presence, and it was really good. And He told me that it was only going to get better from there if we are diligent in our prayers. That's what, you know, we have to be diligent in our prayers. It's going to do that. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Thank you.
Okay. Well, it was an awesome night.
Yep. It was.
Thank you for that.
More to come in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else got a testimony or a praise report or would like to pray about something? No, I tell you what, y'all just believe with me. Lord, I just pray that your anointing come upon this group just like you did last night, and that your Holy Spirit would just fall on all of us, Lord, that your glory would fall on us, Lord, and that we would be able to experience you in the fullness of the light of rain, Lord, so that when we walk down the streets and we witness and testify to people, that the signs and wonders would follow us, Lord, that people's lives would be completely changed. We ask for that infilling tonight, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would fill every one of us up completely, Lord, to overflowing. So that just like Peter, when he would walk, they'd want to get in under his shadow because they thought the shadow was healing him, when in fact it was the Holy Spirit that was doing that. It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit on Peter that was healing folks. And I believe, Lord, that you're going to do that again here shortly. And we'd love to have that experience with us because we love to see people get saved and brought into the kingdom in a mighty way, Lord. And I do believe that that's why you give us signs and wonders that follow the preaching of the gospel. And Father, I praise you that you're going to give that anointing tonight to all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else got a praise report, testimony, or would like to pray about something? Anybody got any comments about something? About anything? Anything that's happening in your life? We have, I'd like to point out to you, we have Austin, my Blake's brother, on here tonight. He's staying with Mimi up there in Arkansas. And he's on by phone Thursday night. Him and Blake's going to be on with the computer, which will be awesome. He's had a great time. He's helping his Mimi, and that's good. And I'm telling you what, God is working in his life in a mighty way. He's clearing up a lot of stuff for him. You know, that's what happens when we walk that narrow walk that God wants us to do, and we run after him. That the stuff, he says that if you run after me with all your heart, all your strength, and all your might, that all this other stuff's going to fall into place. You don't have to worry about a thing because he's going to do it. He's going to do it for you. If you've had a bad life before, he's going to straighten all that out for you so you'd have a clean road ahead of you. And he'll do it, and he's doing it in Austin's life. And I'm just so thrilled that he's going to be able to come out here shortly. And we'll all be able to fellowship together. Praise God. I do. I praise God for my grandsons. Y'all know that. We prayed for these boys for a long time. And now we're seeing the fruit. Austin and I talk on the phone. We'd liable to talk for an hour just about Jesus. And it's awesome to do that with your grandson. Okay. Anybody, Austin, did you want to say anything tonight? Did you want to give your testimony, or you want to wait till Thursday night? Let me unmute you. Okay, go ahead, brother.
I said I'll tell my testimony with Blake on Thursday. I did have a few prayer requests, but I didn't know how to chime in.
Oh, well, you have to unmute yourself, but I don't, what is that, *6, Matt? Yeah, *6, unmute you, and you *6 again to mute it back, but I can do that for it until you get used to it.
Yeah, I didn't know. Well, hopefully I'm on the computer soon every time.
Okay. All right, what's your prayer request, brother?
I was going to pray for knowledge and understanding, more okay. Knowledge and understanding of the word, and for God to come into my heart even more, and so I can decrease, so he can increase in my life. I pray that he continues working in my wife, that her faith builds by the day, and that she continues to seek God diligently. And I also pray for my twin brother, because I know that there's many trials that he's facing, and that all he has to do is turn towards God to get through those trials.
Amen.
And I pray for my family, kids, and I pray that my journey, when it comes shortly to Tennessee, is a safe one.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just ask and I pray right now, Lord, that you put a hunger in his heart for the Word of God that he can't satiate with nothing but your Word, Lord. That he gets in it and the revelations will come forth, Lord, like a neon sign. And that he would understand them, Lord. I thank you for opening up his eyes and his ears of understanding that you're going to grow this young man up fast. And I praise you for it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that these times that we're in right now, you're doing young men and women like him. You're growing them up faster than we ever thought was possible. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you've got his life mapped out for him. All he has to do is step on that narrow road and go for it. And we praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Anything else, Austin?
Do you mind if I tell that story that I was telling you yesterday?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm not sure which one, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, there's a sermon that was given at the place before I left, and it's a good sermon. I just feel moved to say it, and it was this grandson was talking about his grandma that was in a retiring home, and every time that they would serve her food, she would keep her fork because they usually give dessert right afterwards, and they tried to come after she got done eating, and they tried to take her fork, and she said, no, I'm going to keep my fork, and she said, I want to be buried with this fork, and they asked her why. It's because there's always something better to come. Like, after she got done eating, there was something better. And she realized that in this world, with her being following God and having faith, that she wanted to be buried with that fork because, hey, there was something better coming. And I want to let everyone on here know that I've gone through a lot lately, and y'all will hear my testimony Thursday, but whatever you're going through, there's something better, and it's God. And I know that there's probably someone here that needs to hear that message, and I'm one of them. And I just, you know, I'm just happy to be here. I'm actually very happy to be here. Y'all don't know where I came from, but I am very happy that God chose to save me and that I turned towards him. And I just wanted to share that with y'all.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, this prayer has been answered over the years. I guarantee you, it's been a lot of years we've been praying for you, boy, and it is. It just all blew away when y'all came to Jesus. It just all blew away.
At the same time.
At the same time. That's right. That's indicative of you boys anyways, twins. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anything else, Austin?
No, sir.
Okay. Glory be to God. Okie doke. I'm going to go ahead and mute you. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else got a testimony?
Hello, Michael.
Yeah, Gayno, go ahead.
Oh, I just want to thank Austin for what he shared, and we give thanks to the Lord also that the Lord has gotten a hold of his hand and is pulling him in. That's awesome. We're believing for the same type of things for some in our family also. And I just also wanted to thank the Lord for what he has worked in us, you know, after the 40-day fast. I just have more energy than I've had in months and months, and I just thank him for that, because previous to that, I'd been quite short on energy. And also, he's just really has blessed our gardens. Everything has just overproduced from what it did. There were some things we planted much less than what we did the year before, and we got way more in the end, and wanted to thank him for that also. He's just such a faithful God. And I had read an article in our local paper here about a fellow from Mexico that was in the earthquake that was on, I believe, September 19th. And I just thought it was really an awesome testimony, because it just really shows that God doesn't miss anything, and he's right there with his people. Would it be okay if I read it?
Yeah, it's go ahead. That'd be awesome. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The fellow's name was Conrad Vasquez Martinez. Maybe not pronouncing it exactly right, but that's as close as I can come. He was a 67-year-old mechanic, and he was on the roof of a four-story laboratory building where he worked in Mexico City's neighborhood when the quake hit at midday September 19th. And he says, I wanted to run to get to people, but the building was collapsing behind me. Vasquez Martinez said Wednesday as he lay in a bed at the a hospital recovering from a broken hip and leg. I ran and ran, and with one jump, I grabbed a branch that grew close to the building. Another employee and I had once talked about that branch. We said, if there's ever a problem here, we'll jump out here. He remembered. Unfortunately, it was old and it broke. But Vasquez Martinez never let go of the branch, and it proved a lifesaver. He fell through the lower branch and onto the sidewalk in front of a neighboring building, breaking his hip and leg. And then a second miracle, a metal balcony grill fell over him, partly shielding him from the direct impact of rubble that tumbled over him. The tree branch, which he still gripped in one hand, poked out of the debris to give him a trickle of air. The metal grate had a screen so the chunks of concrete didn't fall directly on me, he said. When everything stopped falling, I tried to stretch myself out, but the concrete chunks felt heavier and heavier. They were pressing me heavier all the time. His face, mouth, and nose full of rubble, Vasquez Martinez noticed that a jug of water he had on the roof had fallen nearby. God is so great that even water was provided. He called and whistled, and eventually co-workers found him and dug him out. Anyway, I thought that was pretty cool. The Lord even provided the water for him. So.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So, anyway, just the Lord is so faithful, and he does watch over us.
Amen. Thank you,
okay,
Lord.
Thank you. That was all.
Okay, thank you. Okay, no, that was good. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, Michael?
Yeah.
This is Leon speaking.
Last
night I saw the movement of the Holy Spirit at the meeting, but I was in a trial where the devil was badgering me quite a bit, and although I couldn't get totally into the meeting, I did make some progress. And today was like a totally different day for me. You know, it's like I overcame the attacks, and I was just rejoicing. By the time I got home, I had the Spirit working on me, and I confessed and prayed and did spiritual warfare basically, and came out of it. But I did see how much that the Spirit was moving on people last night, and that just blessed me too, that others were getting it. I even made a a bad comment to Sue G. So, and but that was just the devil working in me at that time. So anyway, I'm over that now, and praising the Lord. And I do want to pray, Lord. Father God, I just lift myself up to you, Lord, and I offer myself as a sacrifice, Lord God. Use me, take me, consume me, Lord God, put me on that altar. I put myself on that altar, but I pray that you put me on that altar as well, Lord God, and just consume my flesh. Get rid of that. Lord, just make me an acceptable sacrifice to you, Lord God. And just change me, Lord. Do what you got to do to change me. And I thank you, Lord, and I praise your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for the great work you're doing in Leon. We praise you, Father, that Friday night is going to be a different story, because you're going to come into his life and root out all of whatever it is that the devil was trying to do to him. We thank you, Father, that he is cleansed and now free.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen, brother.
Thank you.
I want to read this post that David put on site, and I think it's appropriate for all of us. I know that it really hit me pretty good too. He said, this morning at the prayer meeting — we have a prayer meeting every morning — we got 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And David says, demons are very uncomfortable around on fire for God people, especially when they are filled with the spirit of freedom and worship freely. Demons know. People get set free when they humble themselves and worship in spirit and truth. And then he said, we just received this too, Isaiah 40:4, every valley, which is the humble, shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill, that's the proud, shall be made low or brought down. And the uneven shall be made level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. He said, the demons also know that there is power to cast them out among people who are free. And he said, we just received this also, Acts 16:25. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns unto God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's hands were loosed. And the jailer, being roused out of sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. You know, Jesus comes to set the captive free and to open the prison to those who are bound. When we are full of Jesus, we get set free. Ask the Lord to fill you with himself and the Spirit of God. I was very rejected and restrained once — he's talking about himself — but by the grace of God, I decided to obey the word and worship God. In other words, he was one of those guys that wouldn't raise his hands. He wouldn't get up out of his chair. He was one of those well-reserved guys. And he said, but I just decided to obey the word of God and worship God. In this obedience, I was gradually set free. He says, people with unforgiveness, rejection, pride, rebellion, often avoid the saints in worship. Get rid of the unforgiveness and criticism, and the tormentors will go. In avoiding those who love the Lord, these brethren are just taking the problems with them by keeping their demons safe. Demons give many excuses to avoid those who are free in worship, because they know they will be defeated there. And if you've got that uncomfortable feeling that causes you to come late and leave early, or just to hide out, ask for deliverance. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Well, praise God, that's exactly right. I've always found out that if I've got the doldrums, as they say, or if I'm in a depression of some sort, that if I get up and praise the Lord, it's gone. That's just me. That's what I do. I get up and start praising the Lord and put on some good old praise and worship music and get up and sing in the Spirit. And you'll find out real quick that stuff goes. It leaves. It can't sit around there with you praising the Lord. It don't like that praising the Lord, and it definitely doesn't like you singing in the Spirit. You do that, and that depression and all of that oppression will leave you, glory to God, and you'll be a dancing around there with a skip in your walk and a smile on your face and Jesus in your heart. And that's God. That's the way God does. Them demons don't like God at all. So praise God. I just praise you, Lord, that people are being set free around here. In Jesus' name. Lord, I get excited. I'm telling you what, y'all, it was good last night. It was really good. The first thing that, can I tell you what happened? Do y'all mind me telling y'all what happened? I'm going to tell you anyway, whether you like it or not. I'm going to tell you because it's good. It's about Jesus, okay? It ain't about us. It's about Jesus. The first thing is, like Judy was talking about, we decided to start praying for the prayer meeting. Now, you ever heard anybody pray for the prayer meeting? Yep, that's what we did. We set the stage, we set the tone for the prayer meeting. And then we prayed for the musicians. We prayed for Kevin. And the Lord showed me a vision of him with a white tornado going inside of him. And I said, oh man, that guy's fixing to get on tonight and hit. I'm telling you what, from the first chord that they played, It was Holy Spirit all the way. And they were led by the Holy Spirit, and everybody was blessed beyond their wildest dreams. It was awesome. And during one of the songs toward the end, the Lord gave me another vision of the musicians being anointed. One of them was being anointed with a dark blue substance. Another one was being anointed by a crimson red substance that they were pouring on these musicians. And then another one was being poured on with a white substance. And then the fourth one was being poured on by a golden substance. Four different colors. And I'm going to tell you something. It was awesome. I've never been in a meeting so anointed as it was last night. And the Lord told me also that if we are diligent in our praying, that's our job as Christians is to pray. That's one of our main jobs. That's one of the jobs that God wants us to do. He wants us to commune with Him, and He wants us to set our petitions before Him so they can keep them angels busy. He don't like them angels being walking around after having nothing to do. I mean, they punch a ticket, they got to go to work. You know what I'm talking about? And they got to go to work when we start praying. And that's what we did. We prayed before the prayer meeting, and that set the stage, and it was awesome. And the different colors, I believe, just represents the different anointing that each one of them needed to have in order to get done what God wanted done last night. Okay. Anybody else got anything they'd like to comment on? How about you, Anna? I knew you was going to raise your hand.
I was just thinking that I think I might have shared it on here before. I think I did. But I had a dream that goes along with that really well a while back where we were standing together, just a few of us from local UBM here, and we were kind of in like a gazebo pavilion thing outside, you know, but it was a meeting. And we were all just standing around, and we were praising the Lord, but we were just standing there, and the Lord told me to get on my knees and raise my hands, and I was like, well, Lord, no one else is doing that, and I didn't want to, and the Lord was just quiet after that, you know. He didn't say anything. He didn't say, well, no, you need to do it, or okay, that's fine, I understand, or, you know, it's just silence, and I was like, oh, boy, I better do it. So I got down in the dream. I got down on my knees, and I raised my hands and started praying. And everybody else was just freaked out because everybody was thinking the exact same thing. Well, no one else is doing it. So it was just a really awesome dream. The Lord showed me that. And I've done it several times. You know, got down on my knees. And, you know, if no one else does it, that's okay. And, you know, there are a few people actually that do it, but, you know, I got over that when I realized, you know, this is for the Lord. It's not about what other people are doing or what other people are thinking. Or.
Yeah, we're to fear God, not man. You're exactly right. And that's that. This getting down on your knees and praising God or bowing down to God is humbling yourself to Him, and He loves that kind of worship. I'm telling you, He does. He loves it. Judy, you don't have to. You're so small, you don't have to. You're already down there low, girl. She's not but about 4'8" or so. I don't know. But anyway, praise God for Judy. She's a fine lady. She's a praying woman, I'm telling you. Praise God. Yep, that's right. If you feel led, yeah, go ahead, Judy. You just waving at me? Well, I'll quit trying to unmute you. You go ahead. Well, I don't know why it won't unmute. Okay, there you are.
I just was saying, praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. All right. Okay, anybody else?
Hey, Michael?
Yeah.
This is Leo again. You know, just listening to you talk about worship and Anna sharing like that, I just want to say to everybody, I wish I could experience something like that. The other day, you know, with my son going on and on like the way he does and everything, I was in the privacy of my home all by myself with him, and I did the same thing. I turned on some nice worship music and I tried lifting up my hands and it felt so good, but I have this background where I come from my background is like these, you know, we go to a fellowship that's very conservative. People just kind of stand up straight, you know, nobody taps their feet, nobody claps, nobody sways, nobody closes their eyes, nobody lifts up their hands. It's kind of one of those, you know, formal, traditional type, you know, quiet type of, I don't know if it's just, maybe it's even culture, you know, back in the Ukraine where we're from and the faith that we're in and all that, you know, back there, nobody really does any of that. You know, nobody did that. And my parents and grandparents grew up, and in fact, it was always frowned upon if you, you know, let your body worship the Lord in any way. So that's how we grew up, you know. And so I have this mentality, this fear in me that, you know, if I let loose, it's not of the Lord. It's fleshly, you know, it's fleshly to worship the Lord with spirit and body and with your entire being, you know. And so for me, it's a real, real struggle to raise my hands when I pray. You know, I've done it before. Like when I was first baptized with the Holy Spirit, it was in a very big meeting and I didn't even want to raise my hands. They just went up at that point because the Spirit of God came upon me. But
amen.
It never happened before. It never happened after that, you know. Now it's like I have to really struggle with that thought, you know, that I would raise my hands up. There's like this thing that holds me back. It's a struggle for me to, in front of people, do anything to set myself apart or draw any kind of, or stand out in any way. It's a real, real struggle for me. And I really wish I could experience that freedom to where I wouldn't care, you know, what people thought. Because I the Lord fills me when I pray, and we have this kind of fellowship where we go around, we can stand up and share things, and we do have a pulpit and whatever. And so when you do stand up and share, you got to pretty much go to the pulpit and share in front of everybody because that's the only way you can do it in our fellowship. but the Lord will fill me with prayer, and I know it's the Holy Spirit praying through me, even though it's in a language that everybody understands. But like, I will still not raise my hands because I'm scared of everybody else. And nobody else raises their hands either. Nobody, you know, gets into it. And maybe you could all just lift me up and I don't know, pray for me that
Leo
would go away.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. When you're by yourself, do you raise your hands? Do you raise your arms and praise God then? Do you dance around with him?
No, I don't. That's the
Do
thing.
You tap
it's,
your
it's
foot?
Like this, it's like this, yeah, well, I mean, like the night before I tried it and it felt so good, but it was a good thing. And you know, the Lord filled me with the Spirit and I was crying and praying and singing at the same time all by myself in my house with my son. But it doesn't happen very often. You know, it's so rare. And usually, I don't feel comfortable doing it.
Well, that's demonic there, because that's what God. Yeah, listen to me. You remember reading about David when he danced through the streets of Jerusalem in his underwear?
Yeah.
Okay. He didn't have any fear of man at all. Even his wife come against him. What you want to get out there and act a fool for? You know, it's basically what she asked him. And he said, I'm washed. My God, you just leave me alone. And that's why God wants us. He wants us to just turn it loose and be free to worship him. And I'll tell you something. If you get in there and you do it by yourself more often, then eventually you'll do it in public. And you pray in the Spirit. You pray in the Spirit. I'm going to pray for you. God's going to release an anointing upon you to do that. Not only that, he's going to free you up from that frozen chosen demon that you've got. Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. In the name of Jesus right now, we come against this demonic entity that's keeping Leo from worshiping God in a free way. In Jesus' name, we command you to stand down right now. In Jesus' name, you're not to interfere with his praise and worship from this point on. Father, we thank you for releasing your anointing upon Leo to do and to praise you, Lord, in a free and mighty way, Lord, that he would dance before you, Lord, that he would raise his voice before you, Lord, and that he would raise his arms and hands in hallelujah time. Praise, Lord, and we thank you for it, Father, because you're worthy of our praises. It don't make any difference what natural man says and thinks about the way. Lord, we want your approval. Forget the people. And Father, we thank you that you're going to free him up, and that's going to free a lot of other people up in that fellowship in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for that anointing that you've placed on Leo in Jesus' name. Everybody believe that? Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank hallelujah. You, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. You put you on a good toe tapper and get out there and praise the Lord. Yeah, I'm serious, man. I'll tell you what. Do you know who Paul Wilbur is?
No, I don't.
He's a messianic, but that guy, man, he can get me in. He's got some great praise and worship stuff. Somebody else can recommend some other people. I know that I like that Mercy Seat by, what's her name? What's her name, Matt, Anna? Oh, no. Anyway, there's a lot of good ones out there. You know, you probably know some yourself that you like to listen to. That's what I do. I do it a lot by myself as well. I mean, when I was living back in Arkansas, I had a little place there. I had my office, and I'd get out there and turn that music up. And I don't know. I don't care what the neighbors thought. You know, I'm just praising the Lord. And I do that. And I when I got saved, I was in the Baptist church. I got a funny story to tell you about a Baptist church that the Lord, after I got filled with the Holy Spirit, sent me back to teach them faith. And the pastor there allowed me to teach on Wednesday night. And this was, you talk about frozen, man. These people, the only time they get stirred up was Victory in Jesus song. And they'd sing that, and boy, they get stirred up about that, but they wouldn't raise their arms. They just, man, they just get all, and they, you could see one of them every now and then want to get his hands up, and they're scared of what his neighbor's going to think about him. So one Wednesday night, I was teaching them. I said, you know what? I said, let's get free tonight, man. I said, let's just get free. Praise God. God wants us to praise him. And I'd lift my arms up, and we just praise him. I said, everybody stand up. And I said, let's just praise him. And I went around that pulpit up there, and I got down, and I walked around the room, and I was praising the Lord. Ain't nobody stood up with me. I'm telling you, the whole congregation was still sitting there watching me like I was some kind of fool. And so what I did, I was praying. I went all the way around the sanctuary, come back up, got up on the pulpit, and I looked up there among them, and I said, amen. I got my Bible and went down there and sat down. It wasn't long after that I was gone. But anyway, that was amazing to me. That was amazing to me. And I know everybody, every one of y'all have experienced being in a church and a fellowship where they don't praise the Lord like we do, you know. I tell you something, Leo, if you'd ever come here, you'd get freed up in a hurry because everybody here stands up and dances in the Lord and praises God. We have one song where we kick all the chairs back. It's called Enemy's Camp. I don't know if y'all know that, but it's called Enemy's Camp. And we kick the chairs back, and we all get out there in a circle and start dancing to it. You know? All right, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Oh, last, boy.
Yeah, it's good. You need to come on down. You and your wife need to bring that boy down here. Y'all come on down
Well, I'm fixing to come down in December.
Okay, praise God. That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
Michael?
Yeah, I was going to ask anybody else want to talk about this. Go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to share that many years ago we heard someone say, what you see yourself doing in the spirit, do it. And that's never left me. And so so when I'll see myself doing something in the spirit, like I'll be on my bed reading my Bible and in prayer or something, and I'll be really in tune with the Lord, and I'll see myself just getting on the floor and getting on my knees. And a lot of times I don't do it. But lately I've been doing it more. It's been really helping me get free. And so I'll just do it. I'll just slither out of bed and get on the floor, or I'm washing dishes and I'm praying or something. I see myself to get down on my knees and I'll just do it. So I just wanted to share that if you see yourself in the spirit doing something like that, that's the Lord wanting you to do it, and do it. That will help free you. It'll help free Leo and everyone.
Amen.
For Monday night.
Yeah, go ahead, Anna.
I was just going to say, my flesh didn't like it either after I had that dream, and I was like, oh boy, you know. My flesh was like, I don't want to do that, even though I was awake. And it makes a really interesting Bible study, especially through the Psalms, but just all through the Word, to go through and just look at, you know, it talking about dancing with praise. And lifting up holy hands, there's actually a law in there. I didn't realize until you look. But there's a law in there, and that really helps me too. You know, that it's in the Word. It's right there. There's a lot of it in there. You know, a lot of times it talks about, dancing. You know, it always says, you know, with timbrel and harp, or, you know, lifting up holy hands and singing. And there's a lot in there. And I was going to say, one of my favorite songs is Robin Marks' Garments of Praise.
Yeah,
and we got a little dig in there. It's kind of fun to dance to when we're at the meeting.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about the words of that one the other day, and it says, put on the garments of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Let the oil of gladness flow down from your throne. And I was like, wow, put on the garments of praise for a spirit of heaviness. So you're trading your spirit of heaviness for garments of praise. And sometimes when I just don't feel like praising the Lord, I just feel really, you know, that spirit of heaviness. I just don't feel like praising the Lord, but I sing that song and it really, really helps me, you know, because it, you know, it's a trade, you know, you're giving something to the Lord when you don't want to. And I feel that's the same thing with that. When the Lord told me to get on my knees, I was giving something to the Lord I didn't want to. And the more I did it, the easier it got. So.
Amen.
So.
That's in the Psalms too, that song. I'm trying to look for it. I think it might be 118. I don't know. Yeah, that's a good song. I like that song as well. I like those. I like those slow ones too, like "Humble Yourself." And we sing "Dry Bones" too. Y'all know what I'm talking about when I say we played that a couple of times on here about dry bones. I'm trying to find it. You got to get in the right book first. I guess I was on the wrong page.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead. Is that Barbara?
Yeah. Hi, how you doing?
Hey, girl. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I was thinking that one song, Revelation song by Carrie Job. That's a good song, too.
Yeah, that is an excellent song. And, you know, you remember when... Tom Kruger came on here and he said when he was in heaven that the angels in heaven were singing that song, that Revelation song. Yeah. We got into that last night too. Boy, it was an awesome song.
We should all come on here one time with praise and worship music. Although I don't know how to share it. I don't know how to do that, but we should do that one time. Everyone come in with something.
Well, you got one ready? Go ahead and sing it, girl.
No, I don't mean sing that. I mean play a praise worship.
we have on here before. Malcolm come on here one night with his piano.
Yeah,
we can do that. No, I ain't scared.
Well, no, I meant I don't sing well. I meant playing a video and
you wanna do it to
the Lord for that.
Yeah, we can do that. We can do that. Sure. You got a good song made up already?
No, I was just thinking of Carrie Job.
Yeah, I love Carrie Job.
I sometimes listen to Jimmy Black. I guess he's messianic too.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, he sings a little bit of praise. And I like that Paul Wilbur you were speaking of. He's good.
Yeah, I like that album of his called Jerusalem Arrived Live. That's a good one. But anyway, there's a lot of good songs out there. Now. There's a lot of bad ones, too.
Yeah.
Not very scriptural. Okay. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, Michael?
Yeah, go ahead, Benny.
Yeah, I'm gonna pray for was it Leonard? Was it Leonard?
Yeah,
I want to pray for his whole church. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would free up each one, Lord. We pray for each individual one that worships there together that you would free them up, Lord God, and just express your Holy Spirit to each one in different ways, Father. Just teach them. We pray you'll teach them like Anna says. Teach them the Word. And if you would just free them up, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord. We praise you, Father, for the work you're going to do in that fellowship. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else on praise and worship?
Did I unmute myself correctly?
Yes, you did.
Hey, we're learning. We're talking about praise and worship. I was just going to share a little bit of a song that I wrote that I think would help the gentleman that was going through the problems with lifting his hands and everything.
Okay.
And I'm just going to read it versus singing it. But this is something that I wrote when I was going through the program, and I felt moved to write it. And I'm not good at writing, not very artistic, but the words just kept coming to me. But it says, take these empty hands lifted up to you. Take this broken man and do what you want to do. And it's like, with me, glory come down, glory come in. And that's the chorus. And then it's, take these broken dreams and break my heart like yours. There's no in-between. I'm not like that anymore than it's glory come down, glory come in. And that was something that I wrote when I was struggling with faith in itself. Actually, one of my first days at this program, you know, I've been in church my whole life. You know that. You've been my preacher my whole life. And I've been in and out of church. You know, we've gone to the food drives, the homeless shelters. We've helped the people on the streets. And I had faith all through my childhood, but I just want to say that we all sometimes need a second touch. We all just, you know, I prayed to God. I was like, you know, God, just give me a second touch. And that's a prayer I said a lot. Said it over and over and over. Like, God, just please come into my life and just give me one last touch. That's all I need, and I will forever follow you. And it's powerful. You know, Psalms 30 verse 1 says, I will exalt you, Lord, for you rescued me. You refused to let my enemies triumph over me. And that, you know, that to me, I was struggling, and I asked God for a word, and I opened it. And that's what I went to, and that's been stuck with me, because I remember the first time that I was out of my mess and came to God. And he didn't waste any time, because he knew I was serious, and he came right to me, and he wanted me to know that he rescued me, and that my enemies will no longer triumph over me. And that's just something I wanted to share with y'all.
That's awesome. That's awesome, Austin. That really was, son. I didn't know you was a writer there. Praise God.
Michael,
go ahead, Denny.
Yeah, Austin, would you feel comfortable singing it for us?
I can try.
Okay.
I'm playing worship music in the background a little quietly. Let me turn that off. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Okay. Now I might be a little nervous, so we're going to go ahead and get past that. It's a, take these empty hands, lift it up to you. Take this broken man and do what you want to do with me. Glory, come down, glory, come in and let it begin in me. Take these broken dreams and break my heart like yours. There's no in between. I'm not like that anymore. Glory, come down, glory, come in and let it begin in me. And that's all I got.
That is awesome, but, buddy.
Glory.
Yeah, probably
glory.
See ya.
That's good. Real good.
I can see another musician being added to our musicians here. We got some great musicians. Awesome.
I sound better when singing.
Sound better in the shower.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good harmonizing.
Amen. Amen. That was good, Austin. Thank you so much.
It's nice to have spirit-led lyrics.
Yes. Yes. Go ahead, Austin.
Actually, do you mind if I go ahead and tell my testimony? I really want to say it. I'm getting emotional.
Yeah, go ahead,
I really
bro.
Just want to go.
You go right ahead.
My plan was for this, I started writing down what I was going to say just for the simple fact that, you know, my grandpa knows me, and like everything I've ever done has been planned. When I was in school, you know, I had plans. I never planned on finishing high school. I planned on joining the army and going to fight. But I'll start with what I started to write down, and then I'll go from there. But in my life, I lived in the blood of my parents and never in the blood of God, honestly. And one of my earliest memories was we had this nice china cabinet, and one of my earliest memories was plates crashing against the wall. You know, my mom and dad, they loved us, but they didn't know how to be parents at the time. And a lot of screaming. Lots of screaming. And I remember you could count my age on one hand. And my mom caught me and my brother in the bathroom smoking weed with my dad. But he didn't know how to be a dad. He he was trying to be a friend, but it was at an early age. And actually, I think the reason that I've always gotten, not necessarily gotten in trouble, but I've always, my number one goal in life has always been my twin brother. It didn't matter if I was going to get in trouble. It didn't matter. That's my twin brother. And one of my earlier memories is my grandpa and my Uncle David having to drive to the East Coast to pick up me and my brother because my parents and their mess had left us. Just, you know, left us. And I think that's where one of the things that I struggled with is I have grandparents that love me, but I didn't have parents that loved me. And so I started drinking really early to cope with that. And before I even knew what it was, but I justified it as in, you know, that's something, that's my family's vice. Like my whole, you know, my grandpa went through addiction. You know, he got past it. He found God. My dad's still in his mess, you know, and I just justified it as, well, my family went through it. You know, that's, it's okay. And me and my twin brother struggled together our whole life. My dad got with the swimming instructor and my mom got with her boss. And my first memory of my stepdad is being duct taped to a chair and they ordered pizza and ate it in front of me and my twin brother. And I think, you know, if there was something left in the living room, it was in the trash. If our rooms were dirty, he would put everything in the middle of the room. We'd get locked in our room until it was spotless. He would take a wrench and, like, undo our bunk beds and everything, put it in the middle of the room. And we'd have to stay in there until it was clean. And I think that my... And here's the thing is, like, I respect my stepdad, even through all the beating us up and choking us and, like, hitting us and everything. Because I'm not mad at I forgive him. And then it actually got to the point where I thought it was okay. And so I actually even asked him to adopt me later in life. Which I love everyone. But through my pain, I hated seeing others hurt. And I dropped out and joined the Army when I was 17. I'd wanted to do it. That was my plan. And it was weird because when I joined the military, my twin brother was in high school. And so when I got back from basic training, I felt invincible. I could do anything. But it was weird because I'm working 12 hours a day, taking my twin brother to high school and picking him up. And my addiction, I'd been struggling with alcohol at this point, and I let it consume me. Like I couldn't do anything without some form of alcohol. And I didn't think that it was a problem because I still drove. I mean, I got 2 DUIs, 6 public intoxes. I mean, there were signs like stop, 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 but I didn't want to listen. And when I got drunk, it was like me and my twin brother could hang out. And he's always looked up to me. You know, I've got, you know, but one thing through all that is I've always wanted to have a family. Always. And so I got with my now wife, and she couldn't have kids. And I was crushed. I mean, I was, her dad had given her the depo shot, not knowing any better. And so for 6 months, didn't matter if I was out of town working or anything, I'd call back home. And I made sure that she took her birth control every night at 7 o'clock so I could have children. And I feel bad now because I drug my, I was exactly who I strive not to be. My kids went through my addiction with me. And for that, it's tough. I mean, here I am trying to not be my father. And then I woke up and looked in the mirror and I was my father. I lost six, seven friends in a little bit over a month. And that didn't stop me. I turned to pain pills. I had hurt my ankle and got prescribed them and started, I got meningitis and lost 65 pounds. And they had me on like 100 and something hydros a month. And I started taking those like religiously. And like I've never had depression or anything, but I think the whole time I did. But my brother would call me and be like, hey, I need you. Come get me. And I would drop whatever I was doing just because he looked up to me. I hid my addiction from my whole family. I never stole from my family. I never did anything wrong to them just for the simple fact that I was just as addicted to hiding my addiction. And I was addicted to the money. And I actually, one of my friends lost his life because of me. Like I gave him some medicine. And I went to the store to buy cigarettes and came back, and he was kind of blue, and he woke up, and I think he used the medicine that I sold him to kill himself, because the whole time, it was, you know, I love you, brother, and he lost his life that day. And that didn't slow me down. I hated seeing people hurt so bad that I started selling people heroin that I was addicted to. It didn't matter if you had money, I would give it to you just because I didn't want to see you hurt. And I was on my way to Little Rock to pick up some more heroin, and I got a phone call saying your wife's been in a serious wreck. And that's all they told me. And so I hauled butt to Little Rock, and I get up there, and I went and I called back, and they said it's her knee. Her knee's been basically taken off of her leg. And me being in my mess, I said, is she okay? They're like, yes, she's good. So I went and re-upped instead of going to my wife. And that's not good. But I went home, and they came and got my kids. Her dad did. And my twin brother came over, and we were at my house, and we're both in this mess. Some people found out my kids weren't there, and they came in, and there's six of them, and they beat me up, and they took all of my money out of my pockets. They took everything, and I had nothing. And then the next day, my wife's family comes and moves her and my kids out. And I was laying in the bedroom on the floor, and I felt frantic. Like, I felt like I had to look. And so I started looking around my house, and I used to get so terrified, even when I was sober. Like, demons, like, serious demons would come, like, right in my face, and I'd see them try to take my wife. And they would, like, they'd try to take me, and, like, I was petrified. I couldn't move. Nothing. And I was sitting there on that floor, and I couldn't move. And I didn't eat for 2 days, sitting on that floor. And I was crying. I started thinking about killing myself. I've never had that thought. But it was them trying to get me. And I started looking around and looking around and looking around. And I found a Bible that I have had for 6 years, but never opened it one time. And I found this Bible, and I opened it to Jeremiah 1:5. And it said, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you a prophet to my nation. And from that point on, I went to sleep. I finally felt comfort. Just an overwhelming sense of comfort that everything was going to be okay. I've just never had that feeling. I've never felt like everything was going to be okay. I've always woke up in the morning, and every time I put that needle in my arm, I thought, okay, you're going to die. Like, I feel it. You're going to die. And I figured, you know what? I've tried everything. I'm going to give God a chance. And I'd been trying to talk to this guy named Chase for a year. But when CJ died, he was the one that sold him to us. And so he had left, and he wouldn't talk to me because he went to a ministry-based rehab and got clean. Tried to talk to him for a year and year. I just kept trying to talk to him, And that night, or the next morning when I woke up, I messaged him, and he said, "What's up?" And by the grace of God, I messaged him back. I said, "Where are you?" He said, "I'm in a ministry rehab, and I'm staff here. I finished the program. I work here." And I texted him back. I said, "Can I come there?" And I went, and I found God. And when I got there, you go to church on Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday, and you have chapel Tuesday and Thursday, and Saturday is the day of rest. And when I got there, like, there's people like, "Man, I feel this. I feel goosebumps. I feel the Holy Spirit." And I mean, I was jealous. I was like, you know, like, it's not even possible. Like, who is God? But at the same time, like, I gave it a try. I opened my Bible and I was like, you know what? I'm not putting this down till I get it at all. Like, I will not put this Bible down until I get it. And started reading the Word, and it started speaking to me, and I started feeling happy. And I told my grandpa this the other day, because when I get on the phone with him, like he said, like, I'll pick his brain for hours. I'm just enamored by God itself. I mean, it's just wonderful. But there's this gentleman named Ryan there that he said, "Have you ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit?" "No, well, what is that?" And he sat down, he talked to me, and explained it to me and everything, and he's like, you know, kept talking about it, and he said, "Do you want to be?" And I said, "No." "Not for me, like, that sounds awesome, but I don't think I'm ready for that." Well, I was ready for it. And about a week later, I was doing something, I was looking around the house, and I had stepped out back, and he was out there with his guitar. And I said, "You know," I said, "I'm looking for you." And he said, "God told me that you're ready to be baptized in the Holy Spirit." And I said, "I am, and I'm looking for you." And ever since that day, I've been so happy. And the hardest thing that I had to deal with was, it's easy to forgive others, but it was hard to forgive myself. And I didn't forgive myself because of what I did to my kids, what I did to my marriage, and being my father. But one thing that I've learned is, to be a father, I have to be one with the Father. And that's why, since I've been home, I've only been home a few days, but there's people that are saying, you know, "You're going to lose some of what you got with God while you were there. Or, you know, if you go back to your addiction, our marriage is over. Or if and this and that." And I told them, I said, "If you knew where I came from and what God's already done for me, then you wouldn't say that. And if God never did one more thing for me in my whole life, he's done enough." And I'm blessed. I'm happy to be here with y'all. And God's got plans for me that I can't even understand just yet. But I know that Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And I know that to be true now. And I can't wait to get to Tennessee. And I thank all y'all for taking the time to listen to my story.
Awesome testimony, Austin. That was an awesome testimony, son. And I praise God for it. He's given you that testimony. You went through all that stuff in your lifetime so that you would have a great testimony. And that's going to help a lot of folks, son. That's going to help a lot of folks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, thank you, Austin. That was wonderful. I know it was a tough story, but it really was a good testimony. Thank you, son.
Thank you.
Amen.
I was called where I was at the Father's house to tell my testimony a few times, and I told them no, because I didn't feel like it was the time, you know, and I just kept feeling like, no, not yet. No, not yet. And then one night we're sitting there, and one of the preachers started preaching, and I asked him, I said, does your sermon have time for my testimony? And he said, my sermon was made for your testimony. And I was kind of baffled, but he said, I made this sermon because God told me that someone was going to testify tonight. And I don't know how to explain what I felt then, but after I told my testimony, there's 32 guys at the program I was at, and they all, like, there'd been other people that had told theirs before, but they came to me and they said, you know, your testimony helped me, and your testimony, I'm going to remember it because it's going to help me. And, like, that was big for me. Like, that, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but, like, is the Holy Spirit was in the room that night, and, I mean, it was, and I just, like, once again, I'm very thankful that I can be a part of a group like this, just for the simple fact that where I was, I got a lot from my own understanding, but I needed like-minded people to get further. And that's why I'm just blessed to be here. I'm beyond happy, and I thank all of y'all once again.
Amen. I tell you what, you'll learn a lot. You'll learn a lot. And it looks like you're in the Word and you're doing what God wants you to do, Austin. You just keep it up, son, and you'll be fine. He's got great plans for you. He really does. Okay. Anybody else want to comment or ask any questions?
Yeah, I just tell Austin, you know, we're all here because we had to struggle through things, really rough stuff. Well, I did too. I mean, I came from a really tough life. And I just like you, just grow up hard and finally get to let the Lord work things out of your life enough where you're able to come to Him, and then you're able to come and walk in the kingdom. And, but you need a group like this that's, you know, had to have that tough walk and get real with God so you can be real. And unfortunately, you know, sometimes you can go to these churches and they put on a face, but they're not going to show you who they are because they're afraid to show you who they are. They're afraid to expose maybe where they failed and, you know, where they need to walk. And, geez, will you pray with me about this? And they can't come to that. But that's what the body of Christ is. It's about coming together and helping each other grow in Christ. And if we go through difficulties and trials, and we've had tough things in our life, like, you know, overcoming, I had alcoholism problems, and I never had really hard drug problems, but I definitely drank a lot. I mean, but all that stuff, no matter what the addiction is, in many, you know, the women and all that stuff, or just the craziness in your life, the way you grow up with your family and the crazy family life you have. I mean, all that just, it's all that dirt we have to go through in life in order for us to finally be crushed enough where we're turning to God, and all of a sudden, then He's there. He's finally real, you know, He's there. He's been there all our life, actually. But there's a point when we can just finally decide, and with the Lord, that, you know what, I've had enough, and we need, you know, and you start seeing the goodness of the Lord, and He doesn't necessarily make things easy for you, because we still have a little bit to go through. I did. I still do. But you have this ability to, when you get with a group like this, where you can share and you can talk about those things, and you're not afraid of talking about what you were, because that's what you were. I mean, it's not who you are now. You may struggle with that old person once in a while, but it's definitely not who you are anymore. And that's what the glory is about, coming in the kingdom of God. You get to know what that old man was all about and had to struggle with that old man and that fleshly blood that was encompassed, surrounded us so much that, you know, we couldn't break away with it without God's help. And once we got God's help and He showed us that it was His power that did it, then we know, wow, I really got a great God out there, and He can do some great things. And when we have those kind of victories, then we can help others too, because they don't quite get it. You know, I'm working with a guy at work right now and, you know, got that traditionalism thing going, and they don't get it. They don't get where, you know, you got to come and realize this is tearing you up. This is not good, and hiding from these things. You got to come out and expose it. Once you expose it, then you get to have victory. And a lot of the people in these traditional churches, traditional mainline areas, they can't expose what was holding them back. They feel like they got to have that wall up where it shows, I'm okay, I'm saved, I got God, but they're ignoring their problems and they aren't coming to terms with it. And because of that, they're not getting to know who the real God is either. But you, I'd be able to come to find out who the real God is. You knew who he was as a child. We all had that childhood experience. But then for somehow reason, life kind of, blood gets in us and we start getting maturity and it just takes over our life and we start falling in all sorts of sin. We can't get out of it. We get trapped. And then finally the Lord comes in our life at the right time and then pulls us out and think, oh my gosh, I'm out of that miry clay. What a wonderful thing it is to be. So I appreciate your testimony. We all do. We've all been through that. But anyways, thank you.
My strongest, the biggest problem that I've honestly had, and this is, you know, I don't struggle with it as much anymore, but I've always felt, you know, through my mess and everything that, you know, I've taken lives. So, like, there's been people die from me. And so how do I live? And that's something that, you know, that I've struggled with, you know, and because, that's one thing that I've struggled with. And I don't, you know, that's something that I've never shared before because I haven't felt comfortable enough to share that.
Well, I think you got company with that. I mean, I blew up once at somebody and she committed suicide about 3 or 4 days later. I had the Lord tell me personally. There was a guy at work. He says, go tell him about me. Go talk about the Lord. And I said, oh, not me, Lord. Next day, he blew his brains out because he committed bank robbery and he was running from the law. And I didn't know that, but he went up to his cabin and blew his brains out. The Lord had told me to tell him, talk about the gospel, and I didn't do it. So, and I know the Apostle Paul had some experiences where he probably persecuted the church and may have seen people die. So I think, you know, those things that happen in our lives, it's blood there, but we can't necessarily take responsibility ourselves for doing what those people did, but it was an opportunity in our life that maybe we didn't walk into the correctly with the Lord, but at the same time, maybe, like, I'm more prepared for that stuff now than I was back then. You're going to be more prepared for those things as you get closer to the Lord. And where you were then, you couldn't have helped them because you weren't in a place to help anybody. You got to realize that, and that's the old man, but you're a new creature in Christ now.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like you told me this afternoon, Austin, that's not you anymore. That's not you. You're the new Austin. You're the Jesus now. Austin's dead.
There's a song that I listen to actually daily that, I mean, I would like y'all to listen to. I don't know if y'all could hear it through the phone, though. Not sure. I'm going to try it and tell me if you can't. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead, son.
I have the iPad. You got to tell me if you can't hear it. Hold on. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my failures. Wondering how long is this gonna last? Can you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won? I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains to wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. All my life I have been called a word. Named by the voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll take off these heavy chains. Wipe away everything. Now I'm not who I used to be. Because I don't have to be the old man inside of me. His day is long, dead and gone. Because I've got a new name, a new life. I'm not the same. And a home that will carry me home. I am redeemed. You set me free.
I just wanted to share that. I love that song.
Yeah, great. You know,
great.
As a matter of fact, I think somebody played that on here not too long ago. Y'all remember that? Yeah, that's a good song. I like Big Daddy.
Me too. That's helped me out a lot.
Amen. One thing I would ask, you know, is to don't remember you have been redeemed, and so you forgive yourself, and because it's not you anymore. That was the old Austin. You're part of Jesus's body now. The old Austin might have done those type of things, but the new Austin is stepping in the steps of Jesus.
One of the things that was said to me that really, you know, got to me on that was one of the pastors said to me, he said, God forgave you. You know, and, yep. That was big for me.
Yeah, he says he's forgiven our sins as far as the east is to the west. And that's a long ways. I don't know how far that is, but you can't touch every one of them. That's pretty good ways. Praise God.
One of the things I noticed when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a lot of the guilt I had was gone. The Lord took that away from me. And so, you know, we can carry things, but if we let the Lord take them, which he can very easily, you know, if you think you've still got this guilt, just let the Lord take it. But that Holy Spirit baptism, that gives you the power to walk the life you couldn't. And that was the best testimony I could have, mostly other than just experiencing tongues and feeling more the presence of the Lord, was, you know, that guilt was gone. I didn't have a lot of guilt. I used to carry a lot of guilt, you know, condemnation, and a lot of that went away. Oh, you know, Satan will still try to come on and bring that condemnation. And that's one battle we all have to learn how to fight, you know, and realize that's what it is. It's the enemy. But there shouldn't be any guilt. Not at all. Not from your past life. Let the Lord take that.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hey,
Winnie. Yeah, go ahead, Barbara.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to say that condemnation spirit, that self-condemnation spirit, it does try to come back at you, and you constantly, well, you just have to cast it down when it does and remind yourself you are new in Christ and not listen to those lies, you know. I mean, I know that condemnation does come and tries to come at you, and you just got to cast it down. You know, keep renewing your mind and cast down that the lies of the enemy, because he is lying, you know, and just ask God for comfort and peace. Just share that.
Amen. You stay in that word, son, and you'll be fine. You stay in the word and you keep praying. It's like he's telling me you was doing, you know. That's awesome. The Lord take all that stuff out of you if he hadn't already.
Yeah, I'm not sure who said it earlier, but they said, you know, what you see yourself doing in the spirit, do it. And there's many a night that I'd be laying in bed, and I mean, I'd be there till like 3 a.m. and my legs would be hurting, my arm, I'd just feel broken. And it's because like the whole time I'd feel the urge to get on my knees beside my bunk and pray. And I just, you know, I didn't know, like at the time, like I knew, like I could see myself beside the bed praying and just worshiping on the floor on my knees. And I just, you know, I was like, you know, one of the guys in the room is going to see me or, you know, this or that. And one night it was 3 a.m. I just worked at like a 13-hour day, and I had to wake up in an hour and a half to go back to work. And, you know, I laid it all out. I mean, I got on my knees. I mean, and one of the guys in the room woke up and got on his knees with me. So here I am worrying about what they're going to say. But he told me, he was like, you know, I needed someone else to do that. I've been scared that the guys in the room were not going to be, like, they were going to judge me for that. And so it made me happy that, you know, that God used me to bring someone else to their knees also. And I just, I mean, since I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, I pray in my spiritual language a lot. And I told my grandpa this. One of the guys had come to me, and he said, you know, he was kind of struggling with some things. And he was, you know, we were praying, and he said, you know, he said, I really want to know if you can understand he prayed out loud, and he said, do you understand what I'm saying? Because he was speaking in tongues. He said, did you understand that? And I told him verbatim what he prayed about. And that really kind of, I guess he needed that because it confirmed it for him. And since that day, like he's not had any more struggles. Like he was struggling. I don't know how to explain it, but like I translated it, like God gave me the translation because he needed that in his life. And I could sit here all night, honestly, for hours and tell y'all about the blessings that I've received. And they're just amazing. I was telling my grandpa this, my wife and me have gone through a lot, and she had stayed the night with me last night, and she was in the shower and I heard screaming. And I came back here and she said, you know, I've been screaming for a minute. And like the thing was, I didn't hear it. And I was just in the living room right beside the bathroom. And she said that she was crying. She was hurled up in the ball in the shower and said that there was a girl, that she had seen a girl with black eyes and a blue face. Like she had heard something and opened the shower and the lights were flickering and there was a demon in there. And my wife came to God last night.
Yeah, what a time, wasn't it?
Yes. And, like, she's been struggling just because she was like, why would God let me go through everything that I've been through? And why would he take my husband away and put him in a ministry, you know, off in Donaldson, Arkansas? And so she didn't, you know, she's like, I believe, but I'm just mad. And last night she came to tears and came to God. And, like, I'm just blessed. I really am. I really am. And me and my grandpa, I don't know if any of y'all know this, but he's always been my baseball coach. Like, that was my father, was my grandpa. And I was mad when he left. You know, why can God take my grandpa? But when I found God, one of the main things that spoke to me is when Abraham was called off. And since I've found God, I understand that. And me and my grandpa's relationship, I think, is the best it's ever been. And he didn't force me into religion. He didn't say, Austin, you need to turn to God. You know, he went about, he gave it to God. And since I've given it to God, I mean, my grandpa, I mean, like he said earlier, we can get on the phone and talk for hours. And it's just, like I said, I'm just blessed. I know I'm rambling, but I'm just blessed. You know, I don't know.
Amen.
You know, just happy.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, you know, I'm going to mute you. We're going to have to get off here just in a minute, close. But what I wanted to say is this, Austin, is that it was through years of many people praying that brought you and your brother to Christ. And God heard our prayers. And it, what y'all are experiencing now, the people on the outreach and the people in the fellowship are believing for their children and their grandchildren as well. And it is an encouragement to see God answer prayers. It brings their level of faith way up to see this. So praise God for it. I want to ask if anybody has any prayer requests before we close out tonight.
No, but I'm encouraged. I'm blessed him sharing his testimony. Thank you, Austin. God
Amen.
Bless you.
Amen. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for answering all of our prayers. I thank you, Lord, that we have the faith to believe. We all are believing for each other's children and our grandchildren, and some of us for our great-grandchildren. And, Lord, I thank you that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt before we go, we're going to see those kids of ours and our kids' kids saved and brought into the kingdom. We know it because we believe in what your word says, Lord. Your word says when you pray and you believe what you pray, you shall have it. And we know as believers that we put our faith together that this is going to happen. We've seen it happen time and time again. We're seeing it happen again with Austin and Blake. We're seeing it happen with Ashley. We're seeing it happen with Courtney. Blake's girlfriend, and Lord, we just thank you that even before this whole thing is over, we're going to see multiple people come into the kingdom because of our prayers. And we thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. You're a good God, and we thank you, Father, for answering those prayers. And we thank you, Lord, for your son that went to the cross that gave us this chance. That's your life, Lord, and we praise you for it, and we thank you for it, Lord, and we love you, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you give everybody a good night's sleep tonight, and those that are believing and having a tough time believing for their children and their grandchildren, Lord, I ask that you give them a dream or a vision that shows them coming in. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody.
Good night. Lord bless.
Good night.
Everybody. God bless.